Our Lord's messenger this morning is our supervisory pastor, Reverend Quek. He'll be bringing us God's word entitled, Is It God's Will or Chance? Taken from 1 Samuel chapter 6.
Good morning. Warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank God that the Lord has given to us everything we need for us to be a holy and a victorious witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever we stumble and fall, we know that it is entirely our fault, and it is never God's fault or failure to provide us with all that we need. And one of the most important things is to be sensitive to the presence of God in our lives, that whatever the experiences that we may encounter in this life, we must be able to see the hand of God. The moment we are not able to see the hand of God in our lives, the moment we only choose selectively to see the good things, the things that we like, the things that benefit us, the things that appeal to our heart's desire, then we are in serious trouble, because we know that serving the Lord, witnessing for Christ on this earth, are always fraught with adversities. Adversities that we know are part and parcel of what it means to be called a Christian. For the Lord did say to us, not only are we called to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for Jesus' sake. And so this morning, as we look at the passage from 1 Samuel 6, verse 1 to verse 18, we are going to focus on the topic, is it God's will or chance? The reason why we pick this passage is to help us be more sensitive to the presence of God in our lives. Have you ever used the word lucky before as a Christian? Now, before salvation, we used the word lucky, lucky, lucky all the time. It is part and parcel of our conversation. We know that. But that was before we accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior. But the moment after we became believers, we know that the word lucky is still used by us. But years later, and we're supposed to be more mature in our faith, more knowledgeable concerning the will and the word of God. Words like lucky should never be part of our conversation, because lucky is no different from the word chance. Lucky and chance will lead to fatalism. Fatalism is just a very stoic response to what we see as chance happenings. Unlucky, bad luck. If a person goes out and the person crosses the zebra crossing and he gets knocked down, you know that person. In order to shield yourself from experiencing sorrow, pain, and hurt, you say that, well, if the person doesn't go out of the house, if he were to stay at home, if he is supposed to die, he will die anyway. Now, that is a very fatalistic attitude. How come? Well, because he sees his life as one big, gigantic luck or chance. Bad luck, good luck. Now, what we see here in 1 Samuel 6 was such an incident. May God help us to see and understand that there is a world of difference between how children of God look at his own life and experiences in life and that of the world. What we have here in this account is the perspective of adversities in life from the world. The Ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. Now, how did the Ark of the Lord, which is the most sacred of all the items that God gave to the people of Israel, as far back as the days of Moses and Joshua, of all the items, the Ark of the Lord was the first item that the Lord stipulated in the blueprint when God gave it to Moses to pass it on to the people of Israel to construct. This item, the Ark of the Lord was so sacred that no one was permitted to touch it. Don't talk about opening it and look into it, which was what they did at the end of this chapter. The moment you touch it, you will die. Because later on, out of a very good intention, Uzzah, one of the Israelites who accompanied David, King David, who wanted to bring the Ark to Jerusalem, to turn Jerusalem into a spiritual capital, which was never done before, which only a man after God's own heart could think of and wanted to do, which was very pleasing to God. But the problem was David carried the Ark to Jerusalem incorrectly. It should never have been placed on top of a cart like what the Philistines did here. Perhaps that was maybe where David learned how to carry the Ark and put it on a brand new cart driven by cows. That was his mistake. And so as they were traveling, the road was uneven. And when the Ark was about to be tipped over and Uzzah was the closest, he reached forth to steady the Ark so that it would not tip over. The moment he touched it, he dropped dead and he died. The Lord meant business. We have to realize and understand that we are children of God and we do not look at the circumstances of life with the eyes of the world, no longer. And so we're going to see how they look at the circumstances of life, how the world looks at circumstances of life, and to learn from them what we ought not to do. And if we in any way resemble their manner of looking at adversities in life, then we have to make sure that we change it. Because we are God's children. They are not. And so this Ark of the Lord was in Philistine territory. They lost it because of Eli, who was the high priest at the time when they lost it. Eli had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. They were rascals. They were evil. They were wicked. They were completely superstitious. At the time, the Philistines and the Israelites were not on good terms. In the first battle that they fought, the Bible said 4,000 Israelites died. And so they felt that it was perhaps God was not with us. And so they went into the most holy place. They carried the Ark of the Covenant into the battlefield against the Philistines in the second battle, thinking that, well, now that we have God in our midst, because this is the most holy item in the most wonderful tabernacle, then this is God with us. And so they felt that because now God is with us, we can never lose. And so they fought in the second battle against the Philistines. Lo and behold, this second battle resulted in the death of 30,000 Israelites. And not only did they lose 30,000 Israelites, two of them were Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli. They were killed in battle as well, which was God's punishment against them for their evil and wickedness. And they lost the Ark of the Covenant to the Philistines. And so the Philistines were rejoicing. And that's what chapter 5 of 1 Samuel tells us. And so they place as what their custom was in battle. After you have defeated your enemy, you take the enemy's god and then you will put it into the house of your god. And the god of the Philistines was Dagon, which comes from the word fish, Dag, because their livelihood was dependent upon the Mediterranean Sea, having existed and lived near the coast of the Mediterranean Sea all this while. And so they worshiped Dagon, the fish god, upper portion, human, lower portion, the tail of a fish, like a merman. That was supposed to be the picture of Dagon. And so they placed the Ark of the Covenant at the foot of Dagon in humiliation because they believed that their Dagon was greater, more powerful than Jehovah. That's why the Israelites lost. And the next morning, Dagon fell on his face. They thought it was an accident and they propped him back up. And then the following day, Dagon fell flat on his face, but this time round, the Lord cut off Dagon's hands. And the stump of Dagon was left lying on the ground together with his head cut off. And then the Philistines were afflicted with a terrible disease, perhaps the plague. It was so bad that there was no cure, and they suspected that it could perhaps be the Ark of the Covenant that was at fault. And so they took the Ark of the Covenant out of one city to the next, they placed it to the next, and all in all, five fortified Philistine cities. That's how you get five mentioned here. And the cities were all mentioned in verse 17, if you recall, during the responsive reading. Ashdod, Gaza, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron. These were all fortified cities of the Philistines. And everywhere the ark went, the plague followed. And so now they realize that maybe it's because of the ark of the Lord that we are now all very, very sick. So they are guessing. They are not sure. And so the first thing we realize that when it comes to men, unbelievers, men's will is by guessing. They look at circumstances of life, especially adversities. It's always guesswork. Can you blame them? Of course we can't blame them, because they do not have God's truth. And that has always been man's way. And we know that before the Philistines, before this account, that has been man's way. After the Philistines, in our time, isn't that the same as well? When certain adversities come our way, we try to find the reason why. Maybe it's something that I have done wrong. Perhaps if I have done this differently. And so they try to figure out. And in their context, the only new thing that came into these cities was the Ark of the Lord. That was the only new thing. And since the presence of the Ark of the Lord, which was the most holy item of all the items in the tabernacle, all the experience was adversities after adversities. And the Philistines call for the priests and the diviners, saying, what shall we do to the Ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to his place. So they don't want it anymore. And they said, if ye send away the Ark of the God of Israel, send it not empty. You see, they are still guessing. You cannot just simply send it off and that's it. You got to offer something to appease the anger of Jehovah. All right? But in any wise, return him a trespass offering, right? So it's a sin offering. We have trespassed against him. That's why we are all afflicted, city after city after city. The moment the Ark of the Lord left city A, Ashdod, and went to Gaza, Gaza now got the plague, Ashdod is spared. And then to Gaza, send the Ark to Ashkelon, Gaza was spared, Ashkelon got the plague. And so now they all deduced, all right, by guessing. You cannot just simply return it. You have to offer a trespass offering because you have to appease the anger of Jehovah. Then ye shall be healed, and it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you. Then said they, well, all right, so we have to offer a trespass offering, but what shall it be? What kind of trespass offering shall we return to him? Well, now these are the words of idolatrous priests, okay, idol worshippers. All right, the priests and the diviners. Well, they said, since there are five cities, offer five golden emeralds. All right, golden emeralds. That means gold that is made according to the shape of the disease that they were afflicted with. And then perhaps the disease was caused by the rats, because now they offer five golden mice according to the number of the lords of the Philistines. Five cities, five golden emeralds, five mice. For one plague was on you all and on your lords, right? So this was guesswork again. So they crafted, shaped, and molded the gold that they want to offer to the Lord, each city one piece, and make into the shape of the disease that afflicted them, and then the creatures that caused the disease, the plague, the rats. Maybe it was bubonic plague, perhaps. Wherefore ye shall make images of your emeralds and images of your mice that mar the land, and ye shall give glory unto the God of Israel. Okay? And so, that's what they did. Peradventure, you see, peradventure, maybe He will lighten his hand from off you and from off your gods and from your land. Three things. You, the people, your gods, and your land, which to them are the most important, themselves, the land, and who they worship, what they worship. That has not changed today, has it? Every country, most important, the land, the people in the land, and whatever that is important to them that they bow down to, that they worship as their gods. These three things have not changed. And so perhaps God will no longer afflict the people, the land, and the gods. Wherefore then do ye harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? You just imagine, they still remembered these priests and the diviners. They remembered what God did to Egypt. You do a little bit of mathematics. You know how long ago that was when God brought Israel out of Egypt, the God of Israel? You have angered him by placing the Ark of the Lord, the God of Israel, into your city. That's 400 years ago. Do you know that? You do a simple little bit of mathematics. 40 years in the wilderness wandering. The Bible said that they were, the period of Judges lasted about 350 years. And that's 390. That's about 400 years. Simple mathematics. They still remember what happened. Just imagine what God did to Egypt. By word of mouth, it spread. And Egypt at the time was the most powerful nation in that region. And the Lord just reduced it to nothing. So much so that they said to Pharaoh, the Egyptians said to Pharaoh, if you do not let God's people go, we will have nothing left. They remembered how great and how powerful God was. And they used the word, Pharaoh hardened their hearts. So did the Egyptians. And that's why they suffered. And if you harden your heart and you do not listen to us and send the Ark of Jehovah away, just as God devastated Egyptians, God will do the same to you. When he had roared wonderfully among them, did they not let the people go and they departed? So they guess. If you do this, that may happen. If you do that, that may happen. Guesswork. That has always been man's will. Do you like to read tea leaves? This is another way of putting it, isn't it? Our modern terminology, tea leaves. To find out, figure out, is it God's will? Or is it chance? Man's will is always by guessing. Do not make guesses when you and I are afflicted in whatever form, loss of job, loss of health, especially with this pandemic, where the economy of countries all over the world are literally turned upside down, where countries are prepared to do anything, sacrifice anything, including school, including businesses, shut the doors, shut a lot of entertainment activities in order to save lives. They are prepared to do anything to save lives because to mankind, life is the most important thing on earth and everything else took second place when this pandemic hit. It's global. We have always thought that for children, studies are most important. Suddenly, it's not. We've always believed that the economy of the country is the most important. Suddenly, that is also not the case. And many people are prepared to do whatever it takes to give themselves time to entertain themselves, to enjoy life, to play this sport or that sport, to go to this entertainment center, that entertainment center. Again, that also had to be put into the background because of saving life. And yet, so fast, we have forgotten, isn't it? Now, at the end of the pandemic, many things are now coming back to near normality. And so we have forgotten. Forgotten that there are more important things than entertainment, than education, than making money. And so God had to send adversities like this pandemic. Do you see the hand of God when you were afflicted? When you see this world in this state? Do you see the will of God? Or do you just simply see this as, well, it's just chance? You look back at man's history, there have always been plague after plague after plague, right? There have been past plagues that have afflicted. Millions have died during the bubonic plague, during this plague or that plague that hit this part of the world. And now because of air travel, it's spread all over the world now. In the past, when we say it afflicted the world, it's only one portion of the world. But because of air travel, now it's spread worldwide. So we always come up with some reason, some excuse to take the will of God, the hand of God, out of the picture. And so chance is the new God of man's conversation. And so, because it is chance, then the man's will is by guessing. And that's what we see here, is it not? Do you also make a lot of guesswork? Do you use the word lucky in your conversation? Because that's basically the result of guessing. Bad luck, good luck. Cannot go out, cannot walk underneath the ladder. Bad luck. If a cat walk past me, don't buy certain houses with certain bad luck numbers. All lot of superstition because you believe in chance. That is your God. And so they just simply did not know what to do. But what they wanted was to get the plague out of their lives. That they know. And so they asked the priests and the diviners, who were not appointed by God, obviously, who did not have God's truth, obviously. And so they have their own ideas, their own notions on how to appease the God of Israel. But they remembered the power of the God of Israel, even though that incident happened nearly 400 years earlier, how God devastated Egypt that was much more powerful than the present Philistines. Men's will by guessing. That's why they will reduce it to chance. They will not be able to see the will of God. Do you do the same? Trying to figure out whether it is God's will or chance? If you are sick, if one of your loved ones has lost a job, or there is an adversity that you're going through right now, do you attribute it to your Heavenly Father's doing? Or you just simply see it as chance? And because of that, you murmur and you complain. Why me, Lord? Why me? Instead of submitting to God's will and acknowledge with thanksgiving. This is what the Lord acknowledged after he gave thanks, knowing that this Passover that the Lord had given to him, who Moses, hundreds of years earlier, as a type of Christ. For the Lord, as he broke the bread and as he gave the disciples the cup, it was himself. His broken body and his shed blood. When you and I partake of the Lord's Supper, do we really do it with thanksgiving? The life that we live with all its adversities, because it is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. That's why we have been taught in 1 Thessalonians chapters 5, verse 16, 17, and 18. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. That should be our understanding, not chance. And because it is chance, they did everything wrongly, and they are not even sure that their trespass offering was acceptable. And so what we see from verse 7 to verse 13, man's will by chance, man's way by evidence, right? By evidence means trial and error or cause and effect. Do you also do the same? Trial and error, cause and effect. If I do this, this is the outcome. If I do that, this is the outcome. The modern terminology is called situational ethics. If you believe in chance, then situational ethics would make you trying to play God. If I do this way, if I say things this way or that way, then the outcome will be within my ability to control. Chance. you take God out of the equation. Don't do that. They did it, but they are unbelievers. They were Philistines. We are not Philistines, are we? Now, therefore, make a new cart, or brand new, never used before under any circumstance, and take two milk kine. All right, that means cows that have not been used before. Milk kine are cows that have this fundamental behavior. They will always go back home. Okay, this is their nature, a milk cow. Okay, not yoked before. They will return home, no matter which direction that you pointed. The nature of a milk kine is to return home. So they are basically testing God's will to find out on which there hath come no yoke, and tie the kine to the cart, bring their calves home from them, and take the ark of the Lord and lay it upon the cart, and put the jewels of gold, which ye return for the trespass offering, in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away that it may go. So point it in one particular direction, that is toward Israel. And then we see, in other words, let's test it by evidence. Okay, know the nature of the milk kine, and then do something that will help them find out. To find out what? Now you look at what they say, verse 9. And see, if it goeth up by the way of the own coast to Beth Shemesh, then he had done us this great evil. Right? So if the kine keep on going toward Beth Shemesh and not return to us, which is the nature of the milk kine, then we know that it is the Lord who is doing it to us with all the plagues and all the affliction. All right? Then we should know that it is not his hand, all right? But if not, so if the kine doesn't go toward Beth Shemesh but return, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was just bad luck, chance that happened to us. See, very simple. Their method was by evidence. Man's will, their thinking, by guessing. Their method, man's way, by evidence. I hope you don't do that. Is that how you figure out what you should do and do not do in your life? And the man did so and took two milk kine and tied them to the cart and shut up their calves at home. Okay, because mother will come back to the babies. So they leave the babies home because the mother needs to feed the baby, right? The calves. They will come back. It's supposed to. That's the nature. You just gave birth. Right? They have never been used for any work, never yoked before. This is their nature, mother's nature, to return to the baby calves. And so they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart and the coffer with the mice of gold and the images of the emeralds. And the kine took the straight way to the way of Beth Shemesh and went along the highway, lowing as they went, right? Making noise, and as they slowly trudged toward Beth Shemesh and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. They kept on going and going and going. And the leaders of the five cities, they watch from afar, as you can see from the reading. And the lords of the Philistines went after them unto the border of Beth Shemesh, and they watched the kine, the two milk kine, continue to go forward. And they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley. And then they lifted up their eyes, and then they saw glimmering in the sun something shiny, right? Because it's coated in gold. And then they saw the ark, and then they rejoiced to see it from far. So as far as the Philistines was concerned, their will was by guessing, perhaps our bad luck was because of the ark of the covenant, the ark of the Lord. And then their method, their way of figuring it out after guessing was cause and effect. And so by evidence, watch and see. We do this, let this happen. We do that, let that happen. Do you do the same? Now, we know that we use circumstances in life, but with much prayer, with much guidance from the Lord to help us, we know how important circumstances are. We know that. But these circumstances are not chance to us. You use circumstances, but always with the hand of God behind every circumstance. You're looking for a job. You're offered three from three different companies. You evaluated all three companies carefully based upon your ability and your talent. And then you committed to the Lord with much prayer and stillness of heart. And then you wait for the Lord to show you and to indicate to you by the peace of God that will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus as you make a godly, Christ-centered decision. So we're not saying that you cannot use circumstances, but there is a world of difference between what the Philistines did in terms of using the circumstances that is evidence and a believer using circumstances to help him direct and find God's will in his life, where God is always present every step of the way through much prayer and guidance and stillness of heart on your part. You will not choose any job or any place of work that is against scripture. You can't work inside a casino. You can't work behind a bar, even though you may be the best bartender before your salvation. There are certain things believers cannot do, because the moment you enter into this kind of profession, your holy witness and testimony will be out the window. You cannot work inside a club. A club is a place where people drink, they get drunk, where the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are the norm. You cannot be there. Now, you're not saying that, well, if I'm a fireman and the clubhouse got caught on fire and you're sent there to put out the fire, please, by all means, put out the fire. Don't say that, well, since it's a club, it's a bad place, let the fire burn. You don't do that. You go in there and put out the fire. But I cannot go into the club. No, you're going in there to put out the fire. You cannot go in there to work. Please know the distinction, the difference. Circumstances in life are very important only if the Word of God has always been the basis for your evaluation first, and then you see the hand of God with much prayer on your part, and you see how God will lead and guide you in the direction. In contrast to what we see here, it's based upon guessing, it's based upon cause and effect, where God is not in the picture. They were just simply guessing and using the nature of the milk kind. Mother cow coming back home to feed baby calves. And since the mother in this instance will not use her nature of returning to where the calves were, was now disrupted, broken. And since it is near impossibility, then they said, then that must be God's will. If the kind return to the calves, then we know that what happened to us with all the affliction, the plagues, it's a matter of chance. They just simply can never be certain, because God is not in the picture. To them, the presence of God was not a blessing. To them, the presence of God was a curse. The Ark of the Covenant to the people of Israel was the most important item, the most sacred, the most holy. It literally represented the very presence of the Lord. Out of all the items in the tabernacle, which item did King David bring into the city of Jerusalem to turn it into a spiritual capital after he has established it as his political capital? The Ark. He didn't bring any of the other items, not the lampstand, not the table of showbread, not the altar of incense, not the altar of burnt offering. All these are important, but the most important that literally represented the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, and it was a great blessing when it is understood properly. But to the Philistines, out of superstition, they wanted to humiliate the God of Israel by placing it at the foot, the base of Dagon. It became a curse to them. They were not able to enjoy the blessing of the presence of the Lord, only his anger. Man's will by guessing, man's way by evidence. But what is God's way? We see that from verse 14 to verse 18. And the cart came into the field of Joshua, a Beshemite, and stood there, where there was a great stone, and they clave the wood of the cart and offered the kind of burnt offering unto the Lord. And the Levites took down the article of the right people of the Lord, and the coffer that was with it, wherein the jewels of gold were, and put them on the great stone, and the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and sacrifices the same day unto the Lord. The ark of the Lord returned on its own. You see, when God's people failed the Lord so badly and drastically, they lost the presence of the Lord. Symbolically, the presence of the Lord was the ark of the Lord to the Philistines. You notice that in this incident, God had to bring himself back into the presence of Israel. Not a single Israelite was involved. Do you know that? God did it on his own. You see, if God wanted to defend himself, God can do it on his own without us. You know that, right? You see, in this incident, it's a very clear example. If God wanted to defend his own honor, this is an example that you should look at. And he did it on his own without a single Israelite's contribution. And that's why whenever we are given the honor and the privilege to defend God's honor, please don't run away from it. Please don't shy away from it. Please don't see it as a burden and as a chore. It is an honor and a privilege. And if you don't want to do it, please understand that God doesn't need us. We need him. As you can see in this instance, he brought himself back into Israel, as symbolized by the presence of the Ark of the Lord now in Israel, after 7 long months in Philistine territory. It should not be there in the first place, but because of the failure of Eli and his 2 sons, they embarrassed the Lord. And when the 5 lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron the same day. And these are the golden emeralds with which the Philistines returned for a trespass offering unto the Lord. Now they know for a certain that what they experienced was an affliction from the Lord. Verse 18, and the golden mice, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines belonging to the 5 lords, both of fenced cities, that's right, 45 cities, very strong and very powerful, and of country villages, even unto the great stone of Abel, whereon they set down the ark of the Lord, which stone remaineth unto this day in the field of Joshua the Beshemite. But you know the sad part? The Lord smote the men of Beshemesh because they looked into the ark of the Lord. 50,070 of them died that day. See, when it comes to God's way, it is always by the word. Man's way, by guessing, by evidence. Because the will of men is by guessing, and therefore their method, man's way, is by evidence. But God's way is always by the word. That's why the more you know God's word, the more you'll be able to see the will of God, the hand of God, the finger of God in your life. The less you know God's word, the less you know him, the harder it will be for you to see the will of God in your life. And therefore, sadly, tragically, sometimes we even hear believers say, oh yeah, I'm so lucky, you know. I did not do this, I did not do this. If I had done this, I would have met with an accident. Oh, I'm so lucky. You can't talk like that. That is chance. You're talking like the Philistines. The will of God, not chance. To say chance means you believe that your Heavenly Father has gone somewhere on a holiday, has gone to sleep, and therefore he was not involved in this incident in your life, and so you attribute it to chance. And something good, wow, good luck. Something bad, oh yeah, bad luck. By saying these things, by attributing it to chance, just saying that God forgot about you, God took on a holiday, God went somewhere. The Lord Jesus Christ assured us and promised us, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. There is no place that the Lord will not be with you. Now you're saying that the Lord went somewhere where I'm not around. He disappeared, and therefore chance, lucky. We cannot think that way. That is the Philistines' way, the unbelievers' way. God's way is always by the word. And so when his own people, they offered the right burnt offering, that's fine. But when they broke what God has assured everyone. You don't look into the ark. You look in the ark, you die. You touch the ark, you die. And 50,000 of them, they did, and they died. In their happiness, in their joy, perhaps, for whatever the reason, no excuse. You cannot disobey the word of God and get away with it and expect God to close both eyes and say, it's fine, because my intention was good. God will always go by his holy and precious word of life. Please know the word of God so that you will know the will of God in your life and you will stop attributing it to chance. There are no accidents. Whatever we experience in this life, please prayerfully see the hand of God. If you are afflicted by an illness, for example, there are only two reasons. One, perhaps you have done something sinful and wrong and you have not repented of it. God can use illness to chastise you and discipline you so that you will stop sinning. If that is not the case, only you would know and the Lord knows. And so you have to evaluate your own soul, your own heart. What is the case? And if it is not because of a transgression, then it is for the strengthening of your faith. James chapter 1. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, all sorts of temptations, including illness, including loss of job, including loss of love, whatever the trial may be in life. God now wants to strengthen your faith and to make you a perfect, complete believer, whereby you study God's word, you only have head knowledge. And by experience of both adversities and blessings in life, you will now turn head knowledge into heartfelt knowledge. That means your perfection. From head knowledge to experiential knowledge, that's complete knowledge. And that's what God wants for all of us, his children. So when you look at your life, don't attribute it to chance. It is always the will of your heavenly Father in heaven. That's why we are taught in everything, give thanks. Not in every good thing. In everything, give thanks. Because there are no bad things in a believer's life. Do you know that? If you stray away, the Lord disciplined you to bring you back. How can that be bad? Now you are a bad testimony for Christ. God says, I need to stop this child of mine who is living in disobedience, and everybody around him is now being stumbled. He is now misrepresenting a holy, just, and wonderful Savior by his carnality. I'm going to stop him. And so the Lord will now chastise you, and he will use whatever it takes to stop you. If the loss of a job is the way to bring you back to your family, he will do it, because you are stumbling your family. If the illness is the one that will work, then the Lord will send an illness to stop you from the sin of a bad testimony. How can that be bad? That is good. Now you sin less. And so you repent, you see the hand of God, you come back to the Lord, and now you will return to holiness. To strengthen and to make your faith more mature through the trial, again, it is also good. Maturity will involve growing up pains. Always in the spiritual sense, there will be battles you have to fight, whereby your trust and your faith in the Lord will now be deepened, whereby the word of God will no longer be theory, it will now become reality. Is it God's will or chance? To a child of God, it's always God's will. To an unbeliever, it's chance. The ark of the Lord is the most holy and wonderful thing. The presence of the Lord, it becomes a curse. Just imagine how tragic. How could the presence of the Lord become a curse? Because of their ignorance, their blindness, their spiritual deadness. It turns into superstition. That's why the presence of the Lord has turned into a curse. Just like you see the world. The presence of the Lord is in creation. They can see the power of God. They can see how great and how powerful God is in creation. But what has happened to the world? They reduce it to evolution. They reduce themselves into sinful, wicked, evil behavior. Worse than the beast in the jungle. But we are God's children, are we not? Is Sydney BB Church not a place where the Lord is pleased with? I pray and hope that it will never become Ichabod. Ichabod means the glory of the Lord has departed. And the church is always the people, not the building. And if we are truly the people of God, then we must be very sensitive to the will of God in our lives and not behave like the Philistines, where everything is just a matter of chance. And let it begin with our head, with proper biblical understanding, and with our heart of faith and trust and love, and then let it be seen and heard by our words and by our deeds. Do not use luck. Do not use chance. Do not think by guessing or by evidence. Think by God's word, because we are God's people. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, teach us to look at life with your eyes. Help us, O Lord, to know that thou art sovereign and thou art our Heavenly Father, and you loved us when we were your enemies. And now that we are your children, help us to be aware of thy abiding presence in our lives, knowing that our Heavenly Father neither slumbers nor sleep, and everything that happens to us will work out together for good to those who love you, to those who are called according to thy purpose. And truly, you have saved us and given to each and every one of us a purpose to be a holy witness for the Lord Jesus Christ at home, at work, in school, and in church. May this life that we live be ever conscious of the very presence of God's will, directing us, guiding us, so that we will arrive home in glory and in victory, standing before thee on the day of judgment, having done the will of God in our lives. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins, and bless us with thy truth, and sanctify thy people by thy truth, for thy word is truth, to the praise and glory of thy holy name. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.